Okay. The Gemara on Daf on the top of the Chesam Beis explains that the status of Surya depends on a machlokes Tanoi mentioned elsewhere, mentioned in Avodah Zarah, whether kibush yachid shmei kibush or lav shmei kibush. If kibush yachid shmei kibush, then Surya is chayim and trumas or maisros, like Eretz Yisrael. And if not, then it is not chayim and trumas or maisros like Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Rambam thinks that even the kibush yachid lav shmei kibush, it's chayim and trumas or maisros on a lower level, but it's not chayim and trumas or maisros like Eretz Yisrael. So the status of Surya as Eretz Yisrael depends on kibush yachid shmei kibush. What is this kibush yachid of Surya? So we know Sefer Shmuel tells us that David conquered Syria, and apparently his conquest was kibush yachid. What makes David's conquest kibush yachid? So here we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosos, consistent machlokes, really throughout Shas. They all say they say more or less the same thing. Rashi here says kibush yachid to David. Right, says all the Jews were not with David HaMelech like they were with Yehoshua, who conquered it for all of Klal Yisrael, but David only conquered it for his own purposes. Okay, the principle is clear. Rashi takes kibush yachid literally. It was kibush by an individual as opposed to all of Klal Yisrael. Exactly what made the kibush of David the kibush of an individual, right? In the Rambam defines kibush yachid. We'll come back to the Shita, but he defines kibush yachid in a very straightforward fashion, a very pshat fashion. The Rambam says, "Yachid miYisrael umishbacho shevet shahalchu v'kavshu la'atzma mako." An individual, or one shevet, or one family, Einu Nikra Eretz Yisrael. Okay, is not called Eretz Yisrael, because it was kibush only of an individual, not of the whole collective. Rashi has to explain why, but David HaMelech was the king. You know, he had a national army, so what made his kibush kibush yachid? So Rashi says, because all the Jews were with him, and because it was only for his personal needs, meaning he didn't divvy it up to Klal Yisrael, right? He didn't say, okay, this is now national property, you know, everyone gets a share. It was only for his personal needs. L'chor, what Rashi means is if all Klal Yisrael had been with him, it would have been Kibush Rabin. Even if all Klal Yisrael hadn't been with him, but he had been acting on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, that also would have been Kibush Rabin. Shluch HaShanah Gamoso, at the very least, the Melech represents the Am. But he did it personally, so it's literally Kibush Yachid. Rashi, later on, Maseches Gittin says the same thing. On Daf Mem Zayin is the next sugya. There's only three sugyas of this. In Shas, Rashi says, Kibush Yachid, David Kibsha, Lohaya Kol Yisrael Sham. Okay, all the Jews went with him. In Avodah Zarah, Rashi says things a little differently, but I think it's still the same general direction. In Maseches Avodah Zarah, Rashi says, the Kibsha, Shalo al pi hadibur or below Shishim Ribo. Meaning he didn't have all the Jews with him, and it was not al pi hadibur. I think that Rashi means there will be a deeper. If it had been al pi hadibur, then it would have been part of David's national responsibility for Klal Yisrael. Al pi hadibur means doing it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But he didn't do it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He did it on behalf of himself, by himself. So I think Rashi all over takes kibush yachid, you know, in different places. He emphasizes different sort of igloi milsas, different reasons why we consider it private. With the king, it's always hard to tell what's private, what is national. So how do you know it's private? So one place Rashi says he didn't have all the Jews with him. Here he says he didn't have all the Jews with him or do it on their behalf. In Avodah Zarah says he didn't have all the Jews with him, or do it based on Hashem's command. I think those are all coming together. If Hashem had commanded him, or if he did it explicitly on their behalf, or if they would all have been with him, he would have been doing it as a representative of Klal Yisrael. Instead, he did it himself. So, Kibush Yachid, I think Rashi has a clear shita. Rashi says, Kibshuto, Kikavash, Mitzorech Atzmo, Velo, Kinsig Ha'am. Okay. The Tosfos, he is word for word, says the same thing. Every place in Shas, both from Sefer Skib and Avodah Zarah. Tosfos says, what does it mean, Kibush Yachid? Kibush Yachid means, he doesn't say why he rejects Rashi, just says in the Sifrei, like he didn't say what his problem with Rashi, just in the Sifrei he found something else, which is that Hashem said to David, you did in the wrong order. I said you should conquer Eretz Yisrael and then expand your borders. And you didn't finish conquering Eretz Yisrael yet. In the days of David, they still hadn't conquered all of the promised borders of Eretz Yisrael, as mentioned in the Chumash, and yet he was conquering Syria, and therefore he did in the wrong order. So Tosaf says that it means in the wrong order, meaning he conquered Chutz La'aretz before all of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, one slight problem for Tosfos is, what's the obvious technical problem for Tosfos?
The words.
Why is this called Kibush Yachid? What does this have to do with being a Yachid? I mean, the idea is nice, but has nothing to do with being Kibush Yachid. So Tosfos has a problem with the words. So I think the Ramban is trying to solve that technical problem with the words. The Ramban on Chumash, on that pasuk says, "Maldas Rabosenu, Mikan Yotzel Rabosenu, Machlokas Besuria," because David did it by himself and didn't ask the Urim Tumim and didn't ask the Sanhedrin, but he should have first conquered the Shiva, the seven nations of the Canaanim, and then gone to other countries. With Nashal Nasa Kibushu Kemitzvah Satorah. Because it was done not the right way of the Torah, against the order of the Torah, therefore, one opinion, not the opinion of our data, but the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Zohar, etc., said it's Lashme Kibosh, and some people say it is still Shmei Kibosh. So he says the problem was it wasn't done Kimitzvah Satorah, which that would clearly like Tosos. Tosos and Ramban say the same thing. It wasn't done Kimitzvah Satorah, it was done against the Halacha. He doesn't mention the word, he does once. He mentions the word once, Kibush Yachid. I think what the Ramban's trying to do is explain how the phrase Kibush Yachid fits in with Tosos. What does the Ramban say? If you look at it, initially he says, Davish Katz was Rerotzo Nafsho, on his own. Notice he's not doing it for whose sake. So who made the decision? He made the decision by himself, and he didn't consult the Urim V'Tumim, and he didn't consult the Sanhedrin. It sounds to me like the Ramban's trying to resolve this technical problem with a technical answer. He did it on his own without asking a shayla. If he had asked the shayla, they would have told him not to do it. Right? Meaning, the problem is the wrong order. It's called Kibush Yachid because, well, what kind of person would do conquer a whole country against the Torah? A person who doesn't ask the shayla makes decisions on his own. So I think what Rabban is trying to say is, you know, how to explain the lashon of Kibush Yachid is because he acted without consulting the halachic authorities, he conquered in a non-halachic way. In a non-halachic order. So I think what the Ramban is saying is that really Kibush Yachid has to do with the pagam is, you didn't do the right order as the Torah said. The Torah said Eretz Yisrael, and then you can expand. How can you expand if you haven't finished Eretz Yisrael away? And the Yachid is just explaining the Hechitimtzi, how did David come to do such a terrible thing? The answer is he acted on his own. When you act on your own, you make mistakes.
Isn't Tosfos was saying that the order is only a problem if you are a Yachid? This is the end of Afilu Yachid. That once all Eretz Yisrael is conquered, then even a Yachid can go and conquer something by himself and it'll be considered Eretz Yisrael. But before all Eretz Yisrael is conquered, a Yachid that goes and conquered is not...
So, interestingly, I read it differently. That after Eretz Yisrael is conquered, whether you're a Yachid or a Rabim, it doesn't matter. It's, you can expand. Mm-hmm. And before Eretz Yisrael conquered, whether you're a Yachid or a Rabim, you can't expand. But I hear you want a tiny then combination of both. Not impossible. I'm not sure that, you know, that's what Tosmin says. It's Tam Acher, you know. I don't think that's what Tosmin means. I'm not sure.
It seems that David HaMelech purposefully didn't ask for the move between them.
Maybe he knew he was doing something anti-halachic. Okay. Not impossible. I'm being down the kapsulas. You're the govei nayim.
Is it assumed that David HaMelech made a mistake? An innocent mistake?
Okay, it's a good question. It's hard to tell. It's always, you know, we know in real life that it's always hard to tell, even in real life, if someone makes an unhalachic mistake by asking a shayla, to what extent it was innocent and to what extent they knew on what level that they were doing something wrong. I hear the timing. Okay. The Rambam he's clearly bothered by this as well. Meaning, what's the problem? Why did the Rambam not like Rashi? Because just not Mastaber. Dovid was the king. He had the army. What are you saying? He didn't have all 600,000 Jews with him? Like, that's ridiculous. Why should your army have 600,000 Jews? He didn't do it for Tzorach of everyone? Who said he didn't do it for Tzorach of everyone? He's the king. You know, is it really true that he did it for his own private account? Now, it wasn't Mastaber in say like Rashi. On the other hand, it wasn't Mastaber in say like Tosos. So, what the Rambam just did is he split it into two halachos. He says, Kibush Yachid means Kipshuto, like Rashi, but the problem with Surya was that it was in the wrong order, Shalal Bihalacha, and Surya was not actually Kibush Yachid. That's the Rambam's very clear. First he says, Surya, where are we? Sorry. Haratzos shekavash David chutzeretz kananko and aram la'arayim aram tova v'achal achlam v'chalav v'kayotz v'en achal pisha melech v'chol hu v'alfi bezna gadol oseh. He was doing alfi bezna gadol. He was a melech. It was clearly the Rabbin. Nonetheless, ainu kerchol chol darvel chutzeretz chol darvel gom bavel mitzrayim eliyotzim kol chutzeretz liyotzim erchol v'giyum neimam yardu malos erchol they shekavash them kodem sheyichvus kol eretz Yisrael. Because he conquered them before he conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. What the Rambam seems to say is it was not Kibush Yachid. He's very clear. Kibush Yachid is someone who does it on their own. This is not, he was Kibush Rabbin. But it was the wrong order, and I think what the Rambam is obviously assuming, meaning if you just read the Rambam without the Gemara, you would say, oh, there's something called Kibush Yachid, which we possibly watch from Kibush, which has nothing to do with the Surya Sugya. And then there's something else called Surya, which is Kibush Rabbin, and which has a different problem. What's the Rambam going to do with the Gemara? Look over the Rambam thinks. Right? This the Rambam doesn't say. He just separates them. L'chora Tzorech Lomar that he knew they didn't keep us. Shaloka Seder Shaveh Kibush Yachid. It's not Kibush Yachid. That's how we solved the technical problem. But it's obviously a luckily equal to Kibush Yachid to the point where they had a machlokas, their Kibush Yachid, which is an old machlokas they knew of before, you know, which we don't know the names of the early to number argue about it. Then they saw the machlokas at Surya and they said, oh, Mistama, whatever Kibush Yachid is, so too is Surya, because it has the same yesod. What exactly? Here's the tricky part. What exactly makes Kibush in the wrong order? Toloi on Kibush Yachid. Like, why did the Rambam think it has the exact same halachic status? So the Rav talked about this in his shiurim here. And the Rav says, here it's a little tricky. The Rav says, well, Kibush Yachid is done not... Alpi Bezna Gadol, not as representing Klal Yisrael, you know, not as authorized by the leaders of Klal Yisrael. He says, Kibush Shalok HaSeder is Aser. Therefore, even though David asked the Bezna Gadol, they had no right to matter to him. and therefore it's as if they weren't matir to him, and therefore, since he had no permission to do it, he was not doing it on behalf of Klal Yisrael, because you can't act anti-halachically on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Anyone who acts anti-halachically is by definition acting on their own and not representing Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is the Torah, and the Torah is Klal Yisrael. That's how the Rav understood it. It's a big chiddush, because the Rav says he acted like Bezna Gadol. The Rav has to assume that Bezna Gadol paskin wrong. Right? That's a big chiddush, that Bezna Gadol paskin wrong. So the Rav understands it's because anything against halacha cannot be on behalf of Klal Yisrael. You know, with all due respect to, you know, whoever speaks on behalf of Klal Yisrael, if on behalf of Klal Yisrael they go against the Torah, that's by definition not on behalf of Klal Yisrael, no matter how many votes they got. That's what the Rav says, but it's a big chiddush, because, I don't know, who says the Bezna Gadol messed up in the days of David HaMelech and passed against the halacha? The Rambam never says it was usher, like Tosos does, based on the Sifrei. Now, you could say that the Rambam knew the Sifrei, he had a copy of the Sifrei in his library. He doesn't say that it was usher. He just says it was in the it was in the wrong order.
Even then, just a further question, I think, is that even if we're saying Basin got it wrong, David still was listening to Basin Gadol. As in, you could say that.
Right, you're saying you get philosophical here. Is it real tainah that if I say, you know what? I don't hold from Shabbos, and I don't hold from, you know, and I'm the president of the Jewish people, so it doesn't matter. I'm Buffalo the Buffalo. To say I follow the exact proper halakhic procedure, right? This goes back to our summer leavings, right? Say, I'm following the Bezna Gadol, but they made a mistake. Does that make it so the Rav thinks so? But you're right, that's a big assumption. The Rav says, Kavash Shalo, you know, basically the Rav says that Maisa, she'asr al pi halacha eino nikra maisa shel klal Yisrael. Okay, that's a big chiddush.
Exactly what you're going to say. You can say for the Rambam that, right, the Kibush Yachid not being a full kibush might not be the result of you doing an Isser, it just might be some technical problem of you didn't do an Isser, but you have to conquer Eretz Yisrael first to establish like a proper foundation to allow other parts of Kutzlars to be connected to.
Right, but Lord Yachid, even if he conquers Eretz Yisrael, a Yachid, even if he conquers Eretz Yisrael, is Kibush Yachid. Right? That's what he says. He says, Yachid Yisrael, Shalachal Kosh, Makam, Afilum in Aris, and Nitlul Avrah. So I think maybe the point is this. Is that why is Kibush Yachid not Kibush Yachid? Kibush Yachid is not Kibush Yachid because it is not becoming the natural homeland of Am Yisrael. It has to be Kibush to be the national homeland of Am Yisrael. Likewise, Kibush out of order. Whether it's Mutter or Usser, it doesn't concern me whether it's Mutter or Usser. And perhaps, whether it's Mutter or Usser, if the Bezin HaGadol is Mutter, then that's good enough for our purposes. But Kibush Yachid is not the national homeland of Am Yisrael, because after all, it's only your personal domain. Likewise, Kibush out of order is not the national homeland of Am Yisrael. That's not the national homeland of Am Yisrael. That's conquering other places. If you have all of Eretz Yisrael, then expand it. That's expanding the national homeland. But if you haven't conquered Eretz Yisrael yet, that's a begam. It's not the national homeland of Am Yisrael. And that's what makes it equivalent to Kibush Yachid, because it is a kibush that is not making it the national homeland of Am Yisrael. Now, why? So here you have to say, that's the halacha. Meaning, someone could have said, no, you can make the national homeland of Eretz Yisrael wherever you want. Make it Uganda if you want. Make it like one little bit of Tzipori and all of, Syria and Iraq if you want. But no, okay, so I'll be the Torah. We say it's only the national homeland of Am Yisrael. It's the Eretz that was given to Avraham Avinu and that was promised to Moshe Rabbeinu. And, and Yoshua ben Nun. And then if you want to expand it, it's expandable. But that's why I think in the Pashup Shot, again, it's not any fancy moments. I think it's just Pashup Shot. You can say the Geder is conquering national homeland. And there are two ways for it not to be the national homeland. If it's not for the nation, if it's not done with authorization of the nation, or if it's not the place that was given to us as our homeland.
Okay, around the issue is an absolute or that's clearly
too sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Yeah, it's not because it's usher, it's just because that's not,
sense, changing the order is similar to Kibush Yachid, because they're both not Mechel Kedusha.
Okay, yeah, but you're begging the question, why are they both not Mechel Kedusha? So I'm trying to give a Hasbro. You can give a different Hasbro. Okay.
When we talk about expansion of Eretz Yisrael, does it have to be areas that are contiguous, or can it be elsewhere? Because if it has to be contiguous, then it's not simply a question of order. It's a question of,
I'm assuming it has to be contiguous, even though I don't have the proof. Okay, one comment, and then we'll...
The Rakhine you showed us, so he says it much, I think he did, maybe I don't understand. So he seems to say that these are two definitions of Kibush Yachid, that's why I understood.
Right, although that's not the words of the Rambam. But even if you say there are two, again, whether you call them two definitions of Kibush Yachid or two things that are equivalent to Kibush Yachid might be semantics. Okay, now I want to go to the very, very fascinating question that Rav Chaim deals with, which is, let's get some background. Let's get some historical background. By historical, I mean Al Pi Halacha. We'll leave the history. We'll leave exactly who won which war and how many soldiers they had and what tactics they used to the historians. And we'll leave the halachic consequence. Well, we'll deal with the halachic consequences. There's a machlokas many places in Shas about Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha L'Shaita, or Kedusha L'Asid L'Hol. Okay. The Shas, I don't think Shas ever used the phrase Kedusha Shnia, like the Rambam does. But, it's not a chiddush that the Shas goes to Kedusha Rishona and assumes there's something later. To call that Kedusha Shnia is not a big chiddush. But there's many places in Shas they argue with the Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha L'Shaita, Kedusha L'Asid L'Hol, or Kedusha L'Shata, V'lo Kedusha L'Asid L'Hol. The Rambam in Hilchos Trumos and in Hilchos Beis Avachira represents the mainstream halachic approach. The mainstream halachic approach is that Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia, the Rambam and Rov Rishonim, the vast majority of Rishonim say Kedusha Rishona is Kedusha L'Shaita v'lo Kedusha L'Asid L'Avo. Meaning, it lasted as long as it lasted, and then it disappeared. Kedusha Shnia, Kedusha L'Shaita, Ula Asid Lavo. Right? Therefore, the Kedusha Rishona was gone. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis Avachira uses very harsh phrases. Says, after the Kedusha Rishona was gone, it wasn't Eretz Yisrael anymore. And then we came back and gave it a Kedusha Shnia. There are other opinions of the Rishona. There's a very minority opinion that's found in the Sefer Itter. Okay, if you had trouble reading the Sefer Itter, you should not feel bad. Everyone has trouble reading the Sefer Itter. It's not the Baal HaItter's fault. It's just because, the one manuscript they print the Sefer Itter from was really awful. That included the Sefer Itter. He was long and Gan Eden by then, by the time they copied it over, the 100th time. So the Gerus is terrible. But nonetheless, he quotes from Rav Kroveinu HaChassid. I have no idea who Rav Kroveinu HaChassid, a whole discussion, and Rav Kroveinu HaChassid is a Das Yachin among the Rishonim who says that Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha L'Asid L'Avo as well. So the Sefer HaItter, the Shem, Rav Kroveinu HaChassid, whoever that was, says, nope, L'Shaita Ula Asid L'Avo, and therefore there is no such thing as Kedusha Shtia, because Kedusha Rishona is Kedusha L'Shaita V'Kedusha L'Asid L'Avo. The reason behind this is, it's if you work through it, because the Gemara seems to be achriya in many places that the first Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, Al Yesh Shlomo HaMelech, and or David HaMelech, okay, I'm the Kobetz Kedusha Torah now for now, the Al Yesh Shlomo HaMelech was L'Shaita U'Lasid Lavo. Since the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Mikdash is Mekadosh forever, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and Tosos all over Shas, L'chor independently, came to the clear assumption that there's two different sugyas. There's Kedusha Mikdash, there we paskin, Kedusha Rishonah is forever, meaning during the days of Golos Bavel, it was totally Kadosh, and therefore during the days of Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, even before they built the building, it was still Kadosh. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, then Kedusha Rishonah was Nesbatel, and Kedusha Shnia is forever. But the Sefer Itter does not, or at least the Sefer Itter's holy relative, pious relative, does not distinguish between the Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael like all the other Rishonim come to independently. Why do they come to independently? Because there's many riots from Shas. And passed it this way. The other minority Shita is the Sefer HaTrumah and the Orzeruah. you know, I'm sure if you look hard in Rishonei Ashkenaz, you could find one or two more names to attach to that. But it's not most of Rishonei Ashkenaz either. The Sefer Truma paskins that Kiddush Rishona is Kitcha L'Shaita, L'Shaita Vilno La'asid Lavo. And Kiddush Shnia is also Kitcha L'Shaita Vilno La'asid Lavo. Therefore, he comes up with big kulas. According to him, there's no Kiddush Shartz on a Zed. That doesn't mean everything's automatically mutter. There's still Chiv Darabanan of various things. But obviously means that, you know, when it comes to many, many halacha cases, we'll be very, very mako. Okay, the clear mainstream opinion of the Rishonim, the poskim, is like the Rambam and most Rishonim, that Kedusha Rishona, Kitch L'Shaita, Velo Kitch L'Asababo, Kedusha Shnia, Kitch L'Shaita, V'Kitch L'Asababo. This is the opinion of the Seder Olam, which is a Tanaitic Midrash, which generally deals with biblical chronology, hence the name Seder Olam. You know, many of the famous Masoras that we have in Rashi and Chumash about biblical chronology are from the Seder Olam, but it also deals with some other things that, you know, are somewhat related. And the Gemara Nivamos quotes in the Seder Olam, which is written by Rabbi Yossi, that Ve'viyacha Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz asher yorshu avosecha v'rishta. Right? This is referring to coming back, right? You'll go to the Hashem will bring you the land which your forefathers inherited and you will inherit it. And inheritance here we interpret as meaning not just the Dini Mamda sense, in the Kedusha sense, Kedusha Saaretz. The Kedusha Saaretz stems from Klal Yisrael's inheritance of Am Yisrael. And the Darshan, Kedusha Rishono Shnei Yeshlem Shlishis Ein Lahem, there'll be a first Kedusha Shnei Yarsha Vasecha and a second Kedusha Vibishta. But there will not be a third Kedusha. Right? What does that mean? It doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom that there won't be a Bayis Shlishi and there won't be, you know, a third Medina. What it means is that you have a first Kedusha, and then it is nullified, so you have a second Kedusha. You never need a third Kedusha, because the second one was never nullified, no matter what the physical situation is. The second one lasts forever. And that's the mainstream sock. We're going to assume that for our purposes, like the Rambam writes, that Kedusha Rishon is Kitch L'Shaita V'lo Kitch L'Asad Lavo, and Kedusha Shnia is Kitch L'Shaita V'Kitch L'Asad Lavo. This creates an interesting question that Rav Chaim asks, and I'm sure I've heard him ask before Rav Chaim as well, although I haven't seen them. Kibush Yachid was the days of David HaMelech. We want to know if David HaMelech's conquest of Syria counted or didn't count. Right? Who cares whether Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush or not? I mean, Syria, where did Syria went? No one's asking us Shailas from the days of, Yoshiyahu. We're asking Shailas from the days of the Tanoim and Amorim, right? So whether David's Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush or not should make no difference whatsoever, because whatever David did was batal, because it was Kedusha Rishona. Rather, what should make a difference is whether it had Kedusha Shnia or not. So why are we asking a question about Kedusha Rishona? Again, with the assumption, I know this assumption is not shared by everyone, that Kedusha Rishona is a very mainstream assumption, everyone part of the panel, that Kedusha Rishona means Yoshua ben Nun and all the people who then conquered Eretz Yisrael, you know, continued his work in the days of Bayis Rishon. And Kedusha Shnia means Shivat Zion, Ezra, Nehemiah, b'chulei, b'chulei. So who cares whether David's kibush counts? Either way, it was batel. We should have asked ourselves a different question. Did, right, what's another phrase in the Gemara for the people who did, Kedusha Rishona are called? Only Mitzrayim. The people who did Kedusha Shnia are called Olei Bavel, right, meaning where they made Aliyah from, right? I guess we're Olei America. The Gemara should have asked, who cares if Kibush Yachid make Kibush or not? That was Batal and Mevatal. They should have asked a simple question. Is Syria Eretz Yisrael or not? Well, did Olei Bavel conquer Syria or did Olei Bavel not conquer Syria? We should only care what Olei Bavel did. What do we care what David HaMelech did if what he did was Batal and Mevatal? That is an obvious question. Anyone want to answer that question? Now, the truth is, that question would not necessarily be a problem, Aliba de Rabbeinu Hananel. Because what does Rabbeinu Hananel say? I don't think we have the original Rabbeinu Hanan. It's quoted in Tosas and Yavamas. And if you read the whole Tosas and Yavamas, he brings a gazillion proofs against Rabbeinu Hanan. I'm not going to try to defend Rabbeinu Hanan because it's too hard, although I'm sure he had something in mind. What does Rabbeinu Hanan say against everyone else in the world?
Kedusha Rishona was in the Avot. Rosh Hashanah was in the Yerushalayim.
Exactly. Meaning, he says Kedusha Rishona and only Mitzrayim are not the same thing. He says Kedusha Rishona was... Kedusha Rishona was Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avos. Then they went into Golos Mitzrayim, right? Starts this Shabbos morning. The Tahalich starts. And Kedusha Shninga is Yoshua ben Nun and the time of Bayis Rishon. And there's no halachic significance to the time Shivat Zion and the time of Bayis Sheni. Okay, according to him, then it's a little easier than. I mean, Tosa has many, many, many kashas on him, and you're going to have a lot of trouble. But according to him, then it's not a question. What do we care about David's kibush, whether it's made kibush or not? Because David was Kedusha Shnia. We need to know whether the Kedusha Shnia was chal or not, whether there was a proper kibush or not. But that is not only a very minority shita, but an exceedingly difficult shita. An exceedingly difficult shita because it's against many, many sugyas in many places in Shas. And, you know, by the time you would... worked very, very hard for a month to answer Rabbeinu Hanan. It might turn out that his shita wasn't really quite as clear as it seems, and maybe he didn't totally mean it, maybe he only meant it in a very, limited, irrelevant context. So we'll leave it. Here's the question. The question is, my nafgamina ha'im kibush yachid shmei kibush olo v'harei Kedusha Rishona Nisbatla. So according to Rabbeinu Hanan, it's not such a problem. According to Rabbeinu Hanan, you can say, but it's a problem to hold like Rabbeinu Hanan. Lefi Rabbeinu Hanan, Nicha, did David Haya Kedusha Shnia, because Kedusha Rishona was the Avos and Kedusha Shnia was David. But that is a very, very non-mainstream shita, so we're not going to answer based on that. Okay, so how else are you going to try to answer this?
There to be Kedusha Shnia, there needs to have been a preliminary Kedusha.
Aha, okay. So, in order to answer that, we have to, Isaac's saying very well, there are other answers as well, but let's go back to a different question. Here is a, what's Reb Chaim's real yisod here, right? The Rambam is bothered by a question which the Gemara does not explicate. What question is the Rambam bothered by that the Gemara never explicitly deals with? Now, the Rambam never says Im Tomer, right? Or the Tzarchi of the Yesh La'ayin. But the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, he's trying to answer a question, which he doesn't ask as a question form. What question is he trying to answer, which the Shas does not discuss?
Why there would be a distinction between Kedusha?
Exactly. Why is Kedusha Shnia better than Kedusha Rishona? That's a very valid question, especially since, now pretend you don't know the Rambam. If I were to ask you, which seems more powerful, Yoshua ben Nun, continuing through David HaMelech, etc., or Shivat Zion, which is more impressive, which is more powerful? What? For sure, Yoshua ben Nun, for precisely the reason that, again, not the way the Rambam says it. Yoshua ben Nun, for you had Kibush, first of all, he had an army, a war, a Medina. Not only that, he had the Luchos and the Ur Batumim, all the things the Rambam said they didn't have in Bayesheni. Everything was explicit command for Bona Shalom, Nisim and Eflos. He was clearly, his conquest was of biblical proportions. Technically, Ezra and Nehemiah were also in the Bible, but, not what people call biblical proportions. Maybe that's what Pachim and Than were all about. But, nonetheless, it's clear that Yoshua seems a lot more impressive than, Ezra and Nehemiah didn't have a state, right? They didn't have independence. They had a letter from the emperor saying that they were allowed to make a yishuv, right? And they didn't have any of the trappings, right? So we would all think Kedusha Rishona should be much more powerful than Kedusha Shnia. You know, it's mamish, you know, but nis nis nigla, nevuah min ha-shamayim, etc. Nonetheless, the Gemara says Kedusha Shnia is more impressive than Kedusha Rishona. So here's the simple question. Why is Kedusha Shnia better than Kedusha Rishona? So now, here's my ha'ara, not the real answer. One ha'ara, Niralani is daiti, although I can't prove it at all, that maybe that's why Rabbeinu Hananel, davka on the sugya nivamos, which say Kedusha Shnia is better than Kedusha Rishona, didn't say those words, but you know, it's said in pretty much those words. Maybe that's davka why Rabbeinu Hananel felt it was necessary to say Kedusha Shnia is Yoshua and Kedusha Rishona is the avos. Because when someone says a weird pshat, and there's so many kashas against it, you have to ask why they said it. I mean, the traditional question to ask in yeshivas is, if Rabbeinu Hananel said a pshat, a Tosa has six kashas against him, how do you answer the six kashas? And you can get a lot by doing that. But I think it's a more obvious question to ask. You know, Rabbeinu Hananel wasn't stupid. He knew there were a lot of kashas against his pshat, right? Rabbeinu Hananel knew shas well. So why would he say a pshat that had so many kashas against it? Even if I'm, Rabbeinu Hananel, we don't mess with Rabbeinu Hananel, let's assume he could answer all the kashas. But why say a pshat that then you have to answer a gazillion kashas? Obviously, that's your reason in the first place. So what's Rabbeinu Hananel's reason in the first place? So, in Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Psukim, it does not seem that it comes from Pshuto Shel Mikra. He doesn't seem very well-founded. Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Pasuk Seder Olam is quoting. So why would he say this weird pshat? Nearly his idea, I can't prove it, that he said this weird pshat to answer this question. Why should Kedusha Shnia be permanent? Kedusha Rishona be temporary? It doesn't make any sense. If it's only Mitzrayim and only Bavel, Ipcha Mistabra. But if Kedusha Rishona means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Kedusha Shnia means Yoshua ben Nun, then it makes perfect sense. Of course, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is Kitch L'Shaita, below Kitch L'Shaita. They get Meiser and Shvias, Yitzchak, Ba'aretz Ha'iv, and Ba'aretz Ha'iv, Ma'yavsha, Rim, and Rashi, they get Meisros. So, of course the Avos is temporary. You know, with all due respect for the Madrega of the Avos' people, no doubt, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were greater people than all the people in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. But, sach hakol, they were individuals, right? They didn't have a nation, they didn't have a state, they didn't have a Klal Yisrael. They didn't have the Torah, they didn't have the Luchos, they didn't have a Mishkan. Meaning, clearly, they had a much weaker connection to the land, you know. Vayogar, you're right, Avram Be'eretz Plishtim Yamim Rabbim Rashi says that's all part of the Kigeri Yazaracha. At the one time, Yeshiv Yaakov Be'eretz Meguri Aviv, when it's supposed to be Eretz Meguri Aviv, and he accidentally thought he had a Havmin of Vayeshiv, look what happened, right? Nearly is Daiti, I can't know the answer until I ask Rabbeinu Hananel, and I'm not hoping to ask Rabbeinu Hananel for a long time. Unless he comes here. And then tomorrow. And I'm ready tomorrow. So, depending on exactly who comes to who. Well, come here today. Who needs to wait till tomorrow? Anyways, Lefi. Right? It's obvious. Because obviously a nation with the Torah and a Mikdash and all the trappings is better than individuals, however holy those individuals may be. Then that's shmizi. The problem is you can't hold like Rabbeinu Hananel. It's just too many kashas. Right? Liddy done kasha. So I know of only one person who answered this question. Who's the one person who answered this question? The Rambam. Clearly the Rambam is bothered by this. Why does the Rambam have to add things that are not mefurish anywhere in Shas? Because he's bothered by something. And how does the Rambam answer this question? Well, we know in our sugya the word kibush associated with David HaMelech, who was Kedusha Rishona. And Therefore, what does the Rambam say? Why is Kedusha Shniyah better than Kedusha Rishona? It's Al Yidei Chazaka instead of Kibush. The Rambam says that twice. First, he says, Shekedusha Rishona l'fisha haysam f'nei Kibush bilvad in Hilchos Trumas. Kitchel Shaitel lo Kitchel Asad Lavo. Kevin Shalom b'nei Agulav echzikov mitzaretz kadushua Kedusha Shniyah ha-medisli olam lo Shaitel Asad Lavo. Okay, Kedusha Rishona is a Kibush bilvad. And as opposed to Kedusha Shniyah, which was Hechziku. So Chazaka is better than Kibush. He says the same thing in Hilchos Beis HaLechira. Although, then I'm going to lose my Hilchos Trumas.
Yes.
Says the Rambam in Hilchos. How does, what is it doing in Hilchos Trumas? It belongs to Hilchos Trumas. Because he's discussing Kedusha Aret. Right? That's absolutely necessary for the continuation of the parak. What's it doing in Hilchos Beis HaLechira? In Hilchos Beis HaLechira, it is Lechora a tangent. Because he's discussing the Kedusha of the Mikdash. And remember, he said all the Rishonim, except for the relative of the Sefer HaEtzer. Well, all right, more complicated than that, but let's assume that basically all the Rishonim say that Kedusha of Mikdash, the first one, was Kaddish forever. So there I was really discussing Kedusha of Mikdash. What's the Rambam saying? That in order to be Kaddish of Mikdash, you need a proper ceremony described in the Mishnah at the very beginning of Maseches. Ceremony of consecrating the mikdash, Masechta Shulos, right, where you need the Urim V'Tumim and the Melech and the Shir and the Sheitodos, etc. Rambam says, all the days of Ezra, they could never sanctify the second base of mikdash because they didn't have a Melech, they didn't have Urim V'Tumim. So he says, no problem, because the Kedusha Rishona Shekitcha Shlomo, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asad Lavo. The Kedusha Rishona, the mikdash lasts forever. And therefore, Ad HaYom HaZeh, we can still bring Korbanos to the Bisa Mikdash. Okay. The practically, besides the practically practical, the practical issues, practically there's also a lot of halachic issues. We can still bring Korbanos nowadays, because the Kedusha lasts forever. Of course, we need various accoutrements besides the Mikdash in order to bring Korbanos. So it's not so posh that we can go up today, even if, you know, even if we were worried about politics and bring Korbanos. But at least theoretically, you know, we'd have the possibility. And he says, why do I say the Mikdash Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is forever, but in Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha Rishon is Bato? The answer is, Mikdash Yerushalayim is the Shechina, so that is forever Shechina in the Batela. But the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is because of Kibush. And then, well, if he comes to this tangent, he discusses, and he says, Ain't no place you Kibush Rabin, the Kibush of Nilkosh, the David Bato, Kibush, it was unkibush for them. Nebuchadnezzar took it away from them. The Nifter, the Nator, Maishus, Rishvias, etc. But when Ezra came, Lokitch of a Kibush, Elabachazaka. And therefore, every place that Oli Bubble were machzik and had Kedusha Ezra Shniyah is still Makudish because it was Chazaka and not Kibush. So the Rambam has a very, very clear Shita that the difference is Chazaka versus Kibush. So that's the Rambam's answer. And I don't know any other Rishonim to give a different answer. Right? Meaning, what about the other Rishonim? They didn't ask this question. Why didn't they ask this question? We'll come back to. But says the Rambam, it was Chazaka versus Kibush. Chazaka is L'Asid Lavo, and Kibush is only L'Shaita. Okay. Sounds reasonable enough. Now, the Rambam didn't explain why Chazaka is better than Kibush, right? But somehow he assumes
Kibush is worse than Chazaka, though.
Right. Somehow he assumes Chazaka is better than Kibush, but there are two fundamental problems in the Rambam. Well, I mean, this one of them. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam here asks two fundamental kashas and leaves it with Tzarev Iyan. What are the two fundamental kashas the Kesef Mishnah asks against the Rambam? A, why is Chazaka better than Kibush? Meaning the Kibush was unkibushed, and the Chazaka was unchazakad, right? We were co-wishered all the days Yeshua ben Nun through the various malachim, etc., and then Nebuchadnezzar came, was kovish away from us, and our kazaka was batel. Likewise, we were machzik in Eretz Yisrael. What is machzik? L'chor settlement. We're machzik in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Shivat Zion and all the days of Baisheni. And then the Romans came and exiled us from the land. And once they exiled us from the land, then our kazaka was batel. So, why is kazaka any better than kibush? The kazaka was also batel. Okay, anyone want to try to get out of that question?
Well,
There was always a continuous settlement in the land of Israel.
Right, so here it gets a little tricky if you want to say what counts as chazaka. I mean, kibush is very much an all or nothing kind of thing. Either you have sovereignty or you don't have sovereignty. Right? When it comes to chazaka, the Rambam does write elsewhere in a totally different context, there were always Jews in the land of Israel. Not only that, there was always a Jewish bezdin in the land of Israel. Okay, not on topic. Why is the necessary for the Rambam to say there's always a Jewish bezdin in the land of Israel? Because the Rambam holds Kiddush HaChodesh needs to be done every month in the land of Israel, or else there's no Chagim. And therefore, the Rambam says, don't worry, there was always a Jewish bezdin in the land of Israel. Not only that, there always will be a Jewish bezdin in the land of Israel. Okay, the Rambam predicts the future. So, what Isaac is saying is that, now, if by chazaka you mean chazaka kol shehu, then the kibush was batal because in the days of Nebuchadnezzar they didn't even have a kol shehu of kibush left. But the chazaka, they always kept a kol shehu of chazaka. Maybe as long as you keep a kol shehu, that's not called batal. Now, Isaac's making an assumption that a kol shehu counts, because clearly during many times in Jewish history there were very few Jews living in Israel, and in a very tiny percentage of Israel, but lechora there was always a kol shehu.
What about the annual macha? There's macha every single year for sure. That we repeat that.
I'm not sure if that would help.
No.
Meaning, I know macha and batal chazaka in the third paragraph of Bava Basra, but I'm not sure I would. I'm not sure that's what the Rambam means here.
Along the similar patterns, it's just looking at more monetarily. I come and just fix one way.
Okay, so hold that thought. Hold that thought. You want to say that kibush cannot be kibush.
Because it's not an actual.
Okay. Position. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So we have two possible answers. Meaning, how come the chazaka wasn't batel? Right. They kest of Mishnah. Let's see if I can read the small kest of Mishnah. It says the Kesef Mishnah. He says, "Lama lo nora b'chazaka gam kei mishen nilkacha eretz miyadenu but l'chazaka." Why can't you say also for chazaka that it was taken away and it was vato l'chazaka? Okay, that's the first kasha of the Kesef Mishnah, and we have some potential answers, right? What's the question one of the Kesef Mishnah? Question one. Which is Lama Lo Nomar Mishanilkicha Haaretz Miyodenu Batla Hachazaka. So one answer you could say is Nishar Sas Karka Muchsak Miyodenu, as opposed to in the days of Kibush, where no karka, not even one square inch, was left. Kavush biyadenu, because like you don't have kibush of a square inch, but there's always a couple farms that stayed in Jewish hands. Again, it's Jewish private hands, right? Not Jewish sovereign hands. But okay, the beginning was also not sovereign. Or maybe number two, which is since chazaka is midas, you can't be mevatel chazaka. That's what you're saying. You can't be vata chazaka through kibush. Maybe you can say chazaka al pi das makne eino mizbatel al yidei gzela. Kibush mizbatel yidei gzela. After all, if you steal from someone else can steal from you. But if you buy it fair and square, then it cannot be nisbatel al yidei someone stealing it from you.
This is not true though, because there's kinyanim of kibush mechama where you can conquer other people's land.
I don't mean in the technical dine mamna sense. I mean in some deeper philosophical sense.
We don't have a problem then, because we're not talking about chazaka in the technical mamna sense.
No, I know, but we still have the kasha.
But like, why is there kasha then?
No, the kasha is because kibush was nisbatel by a kibush.
Okay.
So why can't our chazaka be nisbatel by the Goyim, by the Romans chazaka?
Okay.
Right? And then all the other people came afterwards, right? It's a very... Okay, so maybe you could say that. You see how this is a bit of a chiddush, not to mention the fact that, we'll come back to this in a moment. maybe you could say that. It's a bit of a chiddush. It's a bit of a chiddush. But let's go to this his stronger second kasha. What's his second kasha, which is the second kasha that, by the way, Kaz Mishnah doesn't think he can answer these kashas. He says, V'subar, v'shonish, v'niskach, v'kibash, chilo, yasham, chazaka, so miyat, ifa, kibash, v'lo, chazaka, v'lo, kibash, chazaka, in kibash. That's his big kasha. What do you mean the first time was kibash? Kibash means, what do you mean by kibash? Kibash means, I don't know, when the United States, I don't know, they conquered the Philippines at some point. So what does that mean? It was kibush. The Americans didn't live there. They didn't settle there. They just conquered it. Okay, that's kibush. That's not what happened to Yeshua ben Nun. It wasn't just a military conquest. It was a military conquest and a settlement. Like, he didn't just conquer the Eretz Canaan. The Jews lived in Eretz Canaan for hundreds of years, right? Yeshua had kibush plus chazaka. And here it does make mathematical sense. Yeshua had kibush plus chazaka. Ezra had only chazaka. How could only chazaka be better than chazaka and kibosh? That's what he says.
Rebbe?
Yes?
Does it matter that it was a tzivui Elokim to go into Eretz Yisrael and kovesh it? Why
in the days of Yeshua ben Nun?
Why don't we take that into consideration?
Because that should make Yeshua better, not worse. That should make him stronger, not weaker. He was acting off tzivui Elokim. So here's the big kasha. If you want to say chazaka versus kibush tena, but of course Yeshua also had chazaka. What are they? Where did all the Jews go for all that time? Adif mi chazaka im kibush. This is going to be the really, really tough question. How could it be that chazaka without kibush is better than chazaka with kibush? Yeshua had both. Both should be better than either one. You know what I'm saying? Forget the kibush. You're right. Forget the kibush. Ignore the kibush. Yeshua had chazaka and Ezra had chazaka. You know, Oli Mitzrayim had chazaka, Oli Bavel had chazaka. Why should Oli Bavel be better than Oli Mitzrayim? Okay, how do you want to answer that?
Because, like you say, it's not a question of how the land was conquered. It's a question of how, like, after they were Makadesh the land, and for whatever reason, Yeshua decided
here,
not to...
And here we are using Dean Mumminus type assumptions, right? Remember the Gemara in the beginning of Amatziah? Right? The Gemara asks, if you say Dalet Amos is Koneh, we know if the guy jumps on Hefker, jumping on something, lying down on it is not Koneh, it's not his. So the Gemara asks, why isn't he? Right? We learned this. Right? I don't know who's been around since Bavitzia, not the youngsters. But the Gemara asks, if you jump and lie down on something, you're not Koneh, why are you Koneh Dalet Amos? What's the Gemara's answer? Now, we know the Machlokes Rishonim, how much universalized the answer. Because you had in mind to be Koneh by jumping on it. You didn't have in mind to be Koneh by Dalet Amos. A Kenyan only works if you have in mind for that kind of Kenyan. If you have in mind for a different kind of Kenyan, then it doesn't work. Similar to the Shita of Moshe Feinstein, right? About, let's say someone gets married in Reform seminary, in a Reform ceremony, Reform Jewish ceremony. Says Moshe Feinstein, the Shasar Chak, if they get remarried without a get, or if they want to get remarried and they can't, the husband's unwilling to give a get, then they weren't really married. But Ikra, then they're not really married. Objects, Rav Henkin and others. Kiddush Evia, right? Hakol Yodim Lo Mekalim Nechnes L'Chuppah. It's An and Sadi, not two Edim. There's 100 Edim, because Hakol Yodim Lo Mekalim Nechnes L'Chuppah. Hakol Yodim that there was Bia after the Chuppah. So why isn't Kiddush Evia? So Moshe writes. Because they didn't have in mind to be Kona with Kiddush Evia. They had in mind to be Kona with Kiddush the ceremony, with Kiddush Kesef. And it wasn't a proper Kiddush Kesef, it was apostle ceremony. Or v'chuli. Or Moshe says they went to justice of the peace to get married. They didn't have in mind to be Koneh through Bia. They had in mind to be Koneh through the justice of the peace. And that wasn't Koneh. So we do have a principle that we do have a principle in Halacha that if you do more than one potential Kenyan, only the one you have in mind works. And I think that's what Effie was trying to say. And he's not the first person who said this. This is really in the Tzlach. The Tzlach, the Nodi Yehuda, says, how do we answer this? Kesem Mishnah Kashi says, If in the days of Yeshua ben Nun they had kavana to be mekadesh through chazaka, then it would have lasted forever. But they got distracted, and they had kavana to be mekadesh through the kibush. And once they had kavana to be mekadesh through the kibush, the chazaka wasn't mekadesh because they didn't have kavana. They had kavana for something else. So that's the answer of the. Let's just. One is the tzlach. The tzlach is not the only one. The chedas says the same thing in a number of places, in the Shukhayim Shal, maybe Chilik Beis and Kof Aleph or something, says the same thing. A number of quotes give a very it seems to me to be a very technical answer. Says, Bimei Yehoshua, Bimei Yehoshua, Lo miskavnu lekadesh bechazaka ela rak bekibush. If they had in mind, it would have lasted forever. But they had in mind kibush. In the days of Ezra, there was no kibush. They had in mind chazaka. So you're right. Technically, the kibush Rishonim could have lasted forever. It's just they had in mind the wrong maisa. Not the wrong maisa, but the less lasting maisa.
Sort of like I said before about how Yeshua is b'tzivah Hashem. The Meshech Chachman actually says that svara, that it was ones because it was b'tzivah Hashem. So onus, once there's no longer onus, it goes away. But the second kibush wasn't the onus, because Bnei Yisrael did it on their own, so it lasts forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Shh. It's Meshech Chachma and B'shalach.
Meshech Chachma and B'shalach says the first time was the onus, because Hashem told them to do it. Again, obviously against the famous Rambam, the second paragraph of Gerushin, right?
Yeah.
And therefore what? Does that have to, is he tying that into kibush and chazaka?
Yeah, not chazaka, just why kedusha rishona would go away and kedusha shniya would be less alava.
Aha, okay. So he's giving a different answer, perhaps. All right, yeah. I have to check it out. He's saying maybe it had to do with ones versus rutsa. The first time it was but ones, so therefore it wasn't such a strong kinyan, as it wasn't such a strong chibur, right? And the second time was yishbuzem mashu, right? If I force you to marry a girl, then the connection's not so long-lasting. If you pick a girl on your own and marry her, then the connection is more long-lasting. Okay, very nice.
He also has the second weird bit, where he says the first time was with the Aron, and we know that Ishis Kohen, who's Zinta, loses all her rights. But Ishis Levia, who's Zinta, doesn't. So the first time was like Kedushas Kahuna, because there was the Aron, and
is he tying that into the Rambam?
Yeah, not in the Rambam Dafka, but just again.
I mean, you could say that if you want to. Say Kibush means the Aron, although that's adding a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so Meshech Chachma has two nice things. And he says the first one was such a high level of Kedusha, Dafka, because it had the Aron and the Urim and Tumim, was such a high level of Kedusha that it was fragile. Something which is so Kaddish is very fragile. The second time was, not Chas V'Shalom secular, but less rarefied. And therefore less fragile. And Yesh B'Zemashu, the holier something is, the more fragile it is, the more, that something is perhaps, spiritual and on the road to holiness, but not on the highest levels of Kedusha, it is less fragile. So those are two very, very nice answers. I'm going to stick to the Rambam for a second. Let's see.
I think in Uvikash Tamisham, I think the Soloveitchik says exactly that. Meshech Chachma points out Kedusha, so Adam is a higher form of Kedusha than the Kedusha that's fully Min HaShemayim.
Ah, great. Okay, so let's just, let's give room for some other answers. What other answers could you give? You could say, ones al yidei mitzvahs Hashem versus, your own, versus human initiative. Which, if you want, maybe you could tie into Kibush HaChazaka. Kibush means Hashem told you to do it, although that's a stretch. Or, what else did the Meshech Chachma say? Or, high level of Kedusha is more fragile. You could take those approaches.
I thought really was about to go in this way. You can't call it a Chazaka if you're forced to do it. It's not what a chazaka is.
Really? No? Why not? Why is chazaka means I'm living there.
It's not forcing me to change the locks.
Yeah.
It's not forcing me to change the locks.
But you're not making a chazaka. So
I don't
the other person.
Ask the question, why is Yishishnia better than Kedusha Rishon? Because they have the Rishon.
Okay, so hold that thought for a moment. Okay, hold that thought for a moment. You're absolutely right, but hold it for a moment.
I think we know from previous experience that to think that kibush without yeshiva is going to last, we know that's not true. So when they were kovesh, they automatically assumed they're gonna do yeshiva because otherwise.
Okay, so you're like, I hear you're Rakasha on the slach. Let me just point out, the Radvaz gives a very dochic answer. The Radvaz gives a very dochic answer, which is that on purpose, the first time around, they weren't mekadesh it with an explicit declaration that this shall be kadosh, because after the Churban, they wanted a place to be pater from Shviya so that the Aniyim will have what to eat during the Shemitah year. Okay, that's a little duck. We'll mention that. Viter, another possibility is that, and this, another possibility is this would also answer the first question, maybe we should have thrown both questions together, is the Chassam Sofer, says the Chassam Sofer, he says very pashut. It's not that kibush is better than chazaka. It just gets a little dark in the Rambam. Not that kibush is better than chazaka, says the Chassam Sofer, but he's really answering this question. Why was the chazaka nispato? Let's put the Chassam Sofer here. He says very pashut, because you have no right to take you have no right to Eretz Yisrael. Unless, who remembers first Rashi in the Torah? No one has any right to Eretz Yisrael unless God gives it to you. Who gave Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael? Hashem. Who sent Nebuchadnezzar? Hashem. What is Nebuchadnezzar called? Nebuchadnezzar? Yad Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar, maybe? Avdi. Okay? Eved Hashem is very high madrega. We don't mean that. We mean, no, in the Congress of Eretz Yisrael, he was sent by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, who sent Koresh? What did Koresh say? Hashem gave me these lands and decreed, etc. Okay, these were all authorized by Hashem. Who sent Ezra? Hashem. Right? Who sent the Romans? Who sent the Greeks? Who sent the Mamluks and the Ottomans and etc., etc.? The answer is, I don't mean, you know, who is in charge of the world, you know, behind the scenes. I mean, who explicitly gave the Eretz Yisrael? The answer is nobody. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, it's just a little... Tosfos says it at the end, but give me a half a second. Says the Chassam Sofer, he says, very poshut, because Nebuchadnezzar... Horsha Alpi Nevua, and the Romans were not. Okay, don't even finish the sentence. Meaning, why was the kibush batel? Because the kibush was batel because Hashem sent Nebuchadnezzar to undo it. Why was the chazaka not batel? Because Hashem did not send anyone, did not give anyone explicit permission to undo it. The problem is, of course, that he's not really interpreting the Rambam here. This has nothing to do with Kibush and Chazaka. You know what? Forget it. I erase him. He doesn't belong in this list. Where does the Chassam Sofer belong? He belongs on this list. Different. Here's the Meshech Chachma, which I didn't see. Thank you. Or you could say the Chassam Sofer, which is very Pashut, which is that Nebuchadnezzar Horsha Alpi Nevua. Val haroma im lo horshu alpi navi. Right? Okay. Waikin mevato, only Hashem lets you. And Hashem. But again, that has nothing to do with Kibush HaChazaka. Let's go back to Kibush HaChazaka for 1 second and look at the Tosfos Yontif. Says the Tosfos Yontif, he says the Tosfos Yontif, based on what we said earlier, right? Basically, we're going to say here, this is the Tosfos Yontif. Says the Tosfos Yontif, I'll explain to you the difference. You know why chazaka with kibush is worse than chazaka alone? Because chazaka alone is peaceful and legal and das makne. Chazaka with kibush is sullied by the kibush. Right? Even if I'm machzik in something, if I'm only machzik in something because I stole it from you, then my chazaka is not as powerful than if I'm machzik in something fair and square because I received it midas makneh. That's going to sound, it's a peace versus war thing. Now, is this going to sound a little pacifist? Perhaps. The truth is that, you know, if by pacifist you mean that, you know, Judaism is against war and we always believe that we should talk nicely and only do things that everyone agrees with and never use force to conquer Eretz Yisrael, etc., then that's not Orthodox Judaism. But if by you mean that in some deep philosophical sense there is a greater, more lasting status to that which is accomplished peacefully than to that which is accomplished through violence and war, then perhaps, okay, we believe that in the end of days, the world will be perfect and there won't be wars anymore. No one said in the end of days, the world will be perfect and we'll fight wars every day and win. So maybe what the Tos Yosef says is, he says very pasha. He says, Chazaka, Haba'a, he doesn't use this language, Ayidei Kibosh, right? Ainbo, Kinyan, it doesn't have, again, I don't think it means it's invalid. No one's going to say Yoshua ben Nun had no right to Eretz Yisrael because he conquered it. That's not the point. The point is that it doesn't have the same power. You don't have the same taina, right? If I knock you on the head and steal your banana, I can't have taina. Someone bops me on the head and steals the banana from me. Is that how it works in the jungle? Ainbo, Habal and the Kibush, right, is Lashon. Well, maybe I'll take his Lashon because I'm not expressing it well in my Lashon. What does he say here? He says, very Pashuk. Give me a second. Here's the answer. The question is that, that's Nosin. Ainbo Kenyan. Das no sein o mitzvatel on yaday kibush hagoyim, as opposed to chazaka b'li kibush yesh bo kinyan midas no sein the eino mitzvatel on yaday Kibosh Hagoyim. Okay, that's his very poshut answer. Says the Tosfos Yontif, it's a difference in peace and war. Even if I'm machzik peacefully, that means I had the right to it. Koresh gave it to us as matana midas makneh, and therefore you can't steal. It makes a lot of sense. If you give me a banana midas makneh, if someone steals it from me, it's still mine. If I steal the banana, someone steals it from me, I really have no kesher to it anymore. Okay, he then asks at the end, but didn't Hashem give Am Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Midas Makdeh from the time of the Obos, etc.? And then, I won't repeat his answer here, because I don't want to scare anyone. But he says, okay, fine, you want to be scared? He says, no, that was only Matana Al Tanai of keeping the Torah, and if the Tanai is not Miskayim, then you can't take that into account. What? That's just a very scary thing for me to tell you. I didn't want to say it, you know, in case there's any faint-hearted people listening on the internet. I don't want to cause them harm. Anyway, Kitzer, we have, I think these are really the two Hesbeir I've seen so far in the Rambam as to why the Chazaka alone is better than Chazaka with Kibush, either because Chazaka alone is not better than Chazaka with Kibush per se, just in Chazaka alone they had in mind the Chazaka. In Chazaka with Kibush they had in mind the Kibush. Or, like the Yantar says, no, because Chazaka alone is better than Chazaka with Kibush. Because if I live in a house without wresting it from the previous owners by force, that's better than living it after wresting it from the previous owners by force. Because, by process of elimination, if I live someplace and I didn't take it by force, that means that I acquired it peacefully, fairly, equitably, in which case my connection to it cannot be severed by an act of violence. The Tosfos Yontif is not a pacifist, but what he is saying is that on some deep fundamental level, our connection to something is more lasting and more philosophically significant if it comes about through peace as opposed to violence. Now you'll ask me, but who cares? We got it from Koresh. Didn't Koresh just steal it from someone who stole it from someone who stole it from someone, etc.? So the answer is either, you know, Yeush and Shinu Rishus is Kona, or it doesn't matter. We're not talking about tracing the title history. We're talking about how we got it, what our relationship is. I don't care, Koresh, our relationship is different if we got it peacefully than if we got it through an act of war.
Can we say that there's some benefit to having, like, Yaskama Bimot Olam that allows us to come back to Israel? Like, you know, with regards to, like, the Shlosh Shvuot, right? We can't call it by ourselves, we need the Yaskama Bimot Olam to come back to.
Yeah, but it's hard to say that applied in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. I mean, unless you're going to say the same thing. Now, let me tell you what the Rav says in the Alat Shuva, and you'll tell me where to put him on the board. Says the Rav in the Alat Shuva, he focuses on the context of his base of Achira. What was the beginning of his base of Achira? You should know by the Mikdash, the Kedusha Rishon will last forever. Because by the Mikdash, the Kedusha Rishon will last forever, because it's Shechina. But by Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha Rishon doesn't last forever, the Kedusha Shechina does. So says the Rav, don't ignore the context. It's a retzef. That's where he's coming from. Says the Rav, you know what the difference was between Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia? Kedusha Rishona was a conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and then, a couple hundred years later, right, 440 to be exact, they built the Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha Rishona had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Kedusha Shnia? Basically, what did Ezra and Nehemiah come and do first? They built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And then what did they do? Then they expanded from the Beis HaMikdash and started expanding to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It says, the first time around, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was not connected to the Kedusha HaMikdash. The second time around, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was an extension of Kedusha HaMikdash. They started from the Mikdash and radiated outwards. The first time, it wasn't due to the Shechina of the Mikdash, and therefore, it was temporary. The second time, it was an extension of the Mikdash. Once an extension of the Mikdash, Shechina in the Betela, anything that comes from the power of the Mikdash is not Batel, and therefore that Kedusha lasts forever. That's the Rav said in Alat Shuva. That's the Rav Shabbat of the Rambam said in Alat Shuva. Now, it is a very beautiful idea, and it's definitely true. It's definitely true. Meaning, I know they had a Mishkan in the time of Oleg Batel, but that's not the same as the Mikdash. That's not Shechina in the Betela. The second time was more connected to the Beis HaMikdash. It was really focused on the Beis HaMikdash. They came to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then they fortified Yerushalayim in order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then they settled the rest of Eretz Yisrael. My only problem with the Rav here is that I don't see how this is a Pshat in the Rambam. Like, how are you sticking that into Kibush and Chazakah? Say, oh, Chazakah means radiating out from the Mikdash, as opposed to Kibush, because Kibush has nothing to do with the Mikdash. Hey, in some vague sense, I guess, Kibush is not about the Mikdash, so therefore, Chazakah must be about the Mikdash. Chazakah doesn't have the word Mikdash in it. So, Lemaisa, the Rav says, is pshat, but, b'mchilas kvodo, I don't see how this is an answer to the kashas. You want to defend how it's pshat in the Rambam?
No.
I don't see how this, you want to defend how it's pshat in the Rambam?
Oh, yeah, if I remember correctly, is when the Rambam, I think it was one of the ones where he's doing the word, is that he's also using the word for Olim Mitzrayim, or Kitzah. So I would say the Rambam himself might not actually care so significantly about the difference between the analogy of the words Kibush and Chazakah. He's just trying to make a difference using words, proven by the fact that he's using.
Meaning, unlike the Yitzhak Mishnah, who thinks these words are important, you think the words Kibush and Chazakah are not the important part for the Rambam. Okay.
Proven by the fact that he's using Chazakah for Olim Mitzrayim in the same context in different levels.
Okay, I hear you're tying on not Makabal. So we'll put the Rav, not the Rav. You're welcome to. He says very Pashut. He says that it's an issue of Kedusha Rishona was not from the Mikdash, while Kedusha came from the Mikdash, and once it comes from the Mikdash, Kedusha ain't a Betela. Okay, I like the idea. It's just, you know, not an obvious shot in the Rambam. Now, I'm ready to tell you the truth, which a few people already mentioned.
Before the truth, though,
okay.
I just want to point out that the advantage to the Meshech Chachma, either into the Meshech Chachma, is that he has an organic explanation for why Kibush Tavish should be different.
He has an organic explanation.
even if it's during the time of the first kibush, still it wasn't mitzvah Hashem. And even if it was during the time of the first kibush,
no, but you're backwards. Oh no, you're. I guess I hear what you're saying. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Okay, now I want to tell you the truth. Again, I can't necessarily tell you the truth in what theoretical possibilities you could say, but the truth in the Rambam, and it's not me telling you pshat in the Rambam. Reb Chaim told us the true pshat in the Rambam. Reb Chaim, he just didn't say it in these words. I'm going to try to say it over more dramatically than he did. Not more accurately, just more dramatically than he did. Basically, we have kashas of the Rama. You can answer the kashas of the Rama, but they're still good kashas. Why is chazaka better than kibush? A, why is chazaka better than kibush? Why shouldn't chazaka be nisbatel, just like kibush is nisbatel? And B, why is chazaka better than kibush? The kibush also had chazaka. We can answer the kashas, but the answers are not so pashat. Right? All the answers are making a lot of assumptions. Then Reb Chaim asked himself a second kasha. And this, I think, is a very fair kasha. How did the Rambam know that it had to do with chazaka and kibush? Don't tell me he's the normal place that says kibush rabin. They don't contrast that with chazaka, right? Where did the Rambam get the idea of chazaka and kibush? You could say the Rambam made up chazaka and kibush. Okay, but the Rambam didn't try to make up ideas if he could actually find evidence, right? And he didn't say yerali, etc. I mean, the Rambam wrote this as a davar pashut. It's not the Rambam's derech so much in the Mishnah Torah to, like, invent new halachic concepts and write them as a davar pashut like that. Unless you say it was so obvious. It's not so obvious that, you know, that it's a good kasha. It's not a kasha you have to answer. But if you can answer it, you should, right? So I'm going to add another kasha to the Rambam. Mehei ki tesi, me nolon, that there's a difference between kibush and chazaka. And Reb Chaim answers all these kashas in one fell swoop by reversing our whole pshat on the Rambam. What does Reb Chaim say? Reb Chaim says something very pashut. Kibush and chazaka is mefurish in the Yerushalmi. I don't mean in those words. It doesn't have to be the words, right? The Rambam's writing in Hebrew, etc. It has to be the idea. Says Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim is really, I don't even know who pointed this out before Reb Chaim, but it's so obvious that you wonder how anyone could not have pointed this out before Reb Chaim. He says, kibush and chazaka is a mefurish Yerushalmi. What's the mefurish Yerushalmi? Obviously, that's where Rambam got it from. How does he know it's a mefurish Yerushalmi? Says the Yerushalmi, it's parallel to the Bavli. Right? Says Yerushalmi, though all the Bavli says that there's a kedush Yerushalmi, shnei and no shlishes. Doesn't explain anything else. But what they say, what's the pasuk? V'viyach Hashem l'kech l'aretz asher yorshav v'sech v'yirishta. Says the Yerushalmi, in the Makor Rashi, asher yorshav v'sech v'yirishta, he kish v'yosem me'ezul v'yosem me'yoshua. Again, Pshut V'shal Mikra is the Avosech as Yoshua ben Nun, and then that's the Parsha Tshuva, you'll go to Golis, you'll come back, that's Ezra, right? That there's a hekesh between B.S. Ezra, Kedusha Shniyah, and B.S. Yeshua, Kedusha Rishona. Ma B.S.M. Yeshua, Keturin Ha'yu B'Nishchayhu, Jossam Yeshua came in, they started to be Chayv Mitzvah Tulis Ba'aretz, Af B.S.M. Ezra, Keturin Ha'yu B'Nishchayhu. Likewise, Ezra made them Chayv Mitzvah Tulis Ba'aretz, Miman Nishchayhu, on what level? Reb Yosrech and Yamdar Torah Nishchayhu. Reb Yosrech and Yamdar said, it's not a Midrash Banan, it's a real Da'oraisa, there's a real Drasha Da'oraisa. This is a real hekesh da'oraisa. My yushas sechem dvar Torah, yushas chem dvar Torah. Just like the kedusha rishona is midaraisa, kedusha shni is midaraisa. Okay, doesn't talk about how long it lasts. Matter of fact, Yerushalmi's never even talked about how long it lasts. Ve'hitivcha v'hirvcha mi'avosecha. You know what? You can do this at some point. Ve'hitivcha v'hirvcha mi'avosecha. Avosecha v'torim ha'yu v'nishchayu v'yatem t'orayz v'nishchayu. What's the hekesh? The only Mitzrayim were potter and they became chayav. Only bubble part then became chayav. But now there's more. Avosecha, because ve'hitivcha v'hirvcha mi'avosecha. What does it say? It says, heitivcha v'hirvcha. You're better and greater. The only bubble are better and greater than only Mitzrayim. Says the Yerushalmi. What were they better and greater? They were both Potter, and they were Mekadosh and Merchayev. No, they're better and greater in three ways, I think. A, Avosech lo hayolayim ol malchus v'yatem af b'shayisholim ol malchus. Yoshua was only Mekadosh because they had sovereignty. You are Mekadosh even without sovereignty, even though you have ol malchus. Avosech lo nishchayev lecha ar basu yishon ashek sheva shekim shu sheva shechulko ol tem kev shenech nastem nishchayavtem. Again, these are all the same idea. Yoshua couldn't be Mekadosh, we know. There was no Chiyuv until after 14 years, Shevesh Kibshu was Rechelku. You needed sovereignty, Kibush, and you needed to settle the Shvatim there, Chiluk. But you, as soon as you walk in, you're Chayuv. And likewise, again, all these three are this similar idea. The only Mitzrayim were in Chayiv, weren't Mekadesh until they got the whole thing. Until they conquered the whole land. Okay, what the whole land means, we need to go into now. Got substantively the whole land. You, each first guy who goes in, who buys one field, is now Chayiv and Shuvah Zemaisa, is now Mekadesh. Meaning, what is the Yerushalmi saying? The Yerushalmi is saying, now, let's see how Rav Chaim explains the truth in the Rambam. What does the Yerushalmi say? The Yerushalmi says there is a vehetivcha vehirvcha, right? Meaning, the second time around is tov and rav compared to the first time around. Not just a heckish, it's better, right? Vehetivcha vehirvcha. In what way is it better? It's better in that it's easier to accomplish, right? Now, if you wanted to summarize this Yerushalmi for me, what would you say? The Yerushalmi says, what way is the second time better? Because the first time was only chal al tnai that you have. What? Kibush. The first time, you have to conquer the whole thing, you have to have sovereignty without all malchus, and you have to conquer and divide it up. The second time is better. It's chal even with mere Chazaka. Right? That's the Yerushalmi. All I'm doing is giving words to Yerushalmi. Right? What way is it better? That the Rishona, Dusha Rishona, can't be Chal until you do Kibush. But the Kedusha Shnia can be Chal with Mir Chazaka. That's talking about the chalos, right? It's easier to be mechel, right? Meaning, easier to create. That's the Yerushalmi. What does the Bavli say? The Bavli doesn't say anything about creating. The Bavli only talks about nullifying. The Yerushalmi doesn't talk about nullifying. The Bavli doesn't talk about creating in this context. The Bavli says nothing about creating. What does the Bavli say? The Bavli says, Kedusha Rishona can be nullified. Kedusha Shnia can't be nullified. That's what the Bavli says. That's what the Yerushalmi says. These are the facts the Rambam has at his disposal. What did the Rambam do? Now, I think it's unmistakable. What did the Rambam do? The Rambam just combined the Bavli with the Yerushalmi. Says the Rambam, mistaber to me that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are talking about the same thing. Right? Are talking about the same thing. The Bavli and Yerushalmi are talking about the same thing. Now, let me ask a simple question. Why in the Yerushalmi is the second one better than the first one? It's not, is it because Chazaka is better than Kibush? No, Chazaka is worse than Kibush. So why is the second time? It's a Gzeres HaKasa, right? This is a good Brisker type. This is a good Brisker answer. And this might explain why no other Rishonim asked this question. Good Brisker answer. Why is the second time better than the first time? Well, if we had the Bavli, we might be a little stuck. But even the Bavli is a Gzeres HaKasa, right? Rishonim Shnei Yeshom Shlish Eilehem. In the Rishalmi, it's even more mefurish. Gzeres HaKasa, the second one is better. Tivcha v'hirvcha. Why? Why? Because it's a Gzeres HaKasa that the second time is better. Okay, we could say that why? The second time is always stronger. Okay, you do something twice, it creates more of a roshem. Okay, but that's a Gzeres HaKasa. Now, what did the Rambam do? And the Bavli says why, doesn't say. Why? Not Mefurish. Right? All the Rambam does is put the Yerushalmi, this is what Rav Chaim is saying, all the Rambam does is put the Yerushalmi together with the Bavli. Ah! But you have to add one knach to the Rambam. You have to be willing to explain the Rambam like Rav Chaim does. But I think it's a Pshat in the Rambam. I think if you read the Rambam carefully, all the Rambam, Rambam, Lifti Grach, is he put them together. He put them together. He says, Kedusha Rishona is, might, is weaker. A, it's harder to create. B, it's easier to nullify. Kedusha Shnia is stronger and better. A, it's easier to create. B, it's impossible to nullify. Why? Zeros akasov, that the second time is stronger. The Rambam took an unexplained phenomenon in the Bavli and put it together with the Yerushalmi. But now you have to read the Rambam, the opposite of all the Mefarshim. All the Mefarshim read the Rambam, the Kedusha Shni is not nullified because it's a Chazaka, which is stronger than Kibush. You have to read the Rambam the other way. And if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, let me just read you the Lashon of the Rambam. He says, Shekdusha Rishona Lefisha Haishim Nekibush Govad Kitcha L'Shaita Lo Kitcha Le Asid Lavo. Or, give me a second. What's the Rambam saying? It's not that Chazak is better than Kibush. Chazak is less than Kibush. That means the first time was only Al Tanai of Kibush. Once you lose the Tanai, you lose the Kedusha. The second time is better. It didn't. It was not Al Tanai. What does Chazak mean? Chazak means if you're there, you're there. There's no Tanai. That's what the Rambam means. Let me say this a little better. You know what? Let me say it a little better. Kedusha Rishona is weaker. It's only Chal Al Tanai Sheyish Kibush. That's it. It's only Kud of Kibush Bolvat. If so, Batel Kibush, Betela, Kedusha. But the Kedusha Shnia, that's stronger. What's the whole point of Yerushalmi? Is it's Chal B'li Tanai. It's Chal not Al Tanai. They were machzik in it. They didn't do anything. They just showed up. It's Chal without a Tanai. If it's Chal without it, not that it's Chal Tanai of Chazaka. It's Chal without a Tanai. Just show up. Right? It's Chal B'li Tanai. If so, E F sharp. Levatel Hakadusha. That's what the Rambam means. He doesn't mean Chazak is better than Kibush. He means something that doesn't need Kibush is better than something that was a Tanai of Kibush. The first one was only outside of Kibush. The second time was without a Tanai of Kibush. Shalom al Tanai of Kibush. Just show up. And that's impossible to be Mevatel because it wasn't Chal al Tanai. What makes the second one Chal without a Tanai and the first one Chal with a Tanai? The first key Kedusha was only Al Tanai, and the second Kedusha was Shalom Al Tanai. How did the Rambam know that? By combining the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And again, it's just a different read than everyone else. What is the, just give me a second. What is Pshat in the Rambam? What is Kerush of Divrei HaRambam? According to most Mefarshim, who didn't put it together with the Yerushalmi, it's somehow that Chazaka is stronger than Kibush. And then we have all the Kashas, and you can answer the Kashas, but it doesn't take away the Kashas. According to the Grach, who's of the Yerushalmi, and I think the Grach has to be correct, because is it coincidence that the Yerushalmi is talking about Kibush and Chazaka, and the Rambam is talking about Kibush and Chazaka, and it's just coincidence? It's hard to imagine. It's coincidence. No, what he means is a Kedusha Shechola B'li Tanai Shel Kibush is stronger than Kedusha Shechola Al Tanai
you know, was a tanai of kibush. That's what the Rambam means. And if you look, the Rambam never says chazaka is better. The Rambam says the first time was only kodesh me kibush bilvad. Therefore, it's not so strong. Second time was not only kodesh me kibush bilvad. It was kodesh without kibush. And that's what's better. Why is it better? May tivcha vehirvacha me avosecha. I think that is pashup shot in the Rambam. Once you say that's pashup shot in the Rambam, then you go back and answer our original question, and that's Rav Chaim's raya. Now it's a longer Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim says, now you can answer al pi grach nicha. You have to make an assumption. Why is this second time last forever? Not because it's chazaka. Not because of any of these other nice philosophical reasons. The second time lasts forever because it's second. Ve'tiv chavah here, because it's second. Now, the Rambam just says, now, here you have a choice. You can say bikhali first, bikhali second, or on this province first, on this province second. Right? If you would have said general first, general second, then everything that Ezra did is the second. But if you would say, no, you have to look at each country separately. Is this the first for Syria, second for Syria? First for Lebanon, second for Lebanon. First for Egypt, second for Egypt. You know, first for the Negev, second for the Negev. Then you just make that one little assumption that first and second, you apply to each province separately. Nicha, the intim salomar, kibush yachid, shmei kibush. And let's assume one more. Then, this is assuming that against the Ravid, right, that Ole Bavel lived in Syria, right? The intim salomar. Ole Bavel, I mean the one that came from Bavel in the generation of Esther. I mean eventually, right? Hit Yashavu, Bisuria, right? In the days of Chashbonaim, they lived in Syria. I mean, the Ravid thinks that. In the days of Chashbonaim, they might very well have lived in Syria. Hit Yashavu, Bisuria, Oz, Havi, Kedusha, Shmia, Bitlon, Nisbat law, the Churban by Hashem. Obviously, the Churban by Hashem, I don't mean the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. That's not the point. I mean, Golos Edel, right? Let's call it Golos Edel. Lo Nisbat law, be Golos Edel. But, Intim Salomar, Kibush Yachid, Lav Shmei Kibush. Ole Kiddush Ole Bavel is only the first Kiddush of Syria because there was David didn't count. Venis Batla Begolas Edom. Right? That's what Rav Chaim's saying. Rav Chaim's saying, again, it's a machlokes. Did Ole Bavel reach Syria or not? The Ravid thinks not. The Rama might thinks yes, by contrast to the Ravid, although not Poshet. You know, it's not clear that the Ravid has the right understanding of the Rama. Never trust the opponent to be mefarish. But says Rav Chaim, brilliant. You know why we care about Kiddush Rabin? Because we're after the Churban by Hasheni. After Churban by Hasheni, why does Kiddush Hasheni last forever? Not because it's Chazak, because it's second. Ah, but it's only second if there was a first. So we have to know if there was a first to know if there was a second. If Kiddush Yachid made Kiddush Dovid was first, the Chashmonaim were second. And it lasts forever. But if Kibush Yachid lasts, if it is done with zeroth, the Chashmonaim were first, and if they were the first, it doesn't last forever, because there's no Beit Tivcha V'Hirbacha Mi'Avo Secha. Again, assuming you apply Beit Tivcha V'Hirbacha granularly. Now, that's Rav Chaim's answer to this Kasha, so he really ties up all the Kasha. I really think this is Pashup Shot in the Rambam. Let me just say one thing that Rav Chaim would be upset with me about. And you don't have to put in your notes. And then I'll take questions. If you ask, okay, but why is the second time better than the first time? According to Rav Chaim, he would answer, Gzeiras HaKasid. Right? Beitiv Chavir Gachav Yosef, or even the Bavli. Yorshu V'Rishta. Second time is different. You know, if you wanted to say a common sense reason behind it, which Rav Chaim would not, you could say either A, you could say sort of like, you know, again, this is a zechel adover, not a
not a pashup shot. Chazaka means you do things a lot of time. It has more power, right? Again, this is a derech remes. This is not what the Rambam means. But, you know, when you do something twice, it clearly creates more of a kesha than doing it once, because the more you do things, the more of an impression it makes. You can even go further and to say that, you know, this is interesting. Perhaps you could say, I'm not sure if this helps the Syria part of the work, but it's interesting to think about the difference between Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shnia, right? And again, here maybe I'm getting way too drushy for Chaim, but going someplace once is of limited, provides limited evidence of an everlasting kesher. Because you go someplace once because it's a good place to go, because it's convenient, because it works out for you. Right? Whenever you settle someplace once, that proves very little. It just proves it was a convenient move at the time. When you go back to someplace a second time, why would you go back a second time? Right? The odds are not because it was a convenient place to go the second time. And in fact, absolutely not. Right? If you think about Kedusha Rishona, meaning Kedusha Rishona, I mean, they could only move up. They had been living in a desert. And before that, they had been living in Shibud. Right? There was only one direction to move. And here is a good land. Okay, someone was evicting the current tenants for them. So it worked out for them. If you look at, you know, Olei Bavel, why did Olei Bavel come back? Again, this is reminiscent of the Meshech Chachma again. Why did Olei Bavel come back? Olei Bavel came back because they had Shibud and Bavel? What was it like for them in Bavel? Get a different drush. What was it like for them in Bavel? Bavel like Kishinev? Or was Bavel like Tinek? Yeah, they had good jobs, good position, they had the mayor, etc. You know, why did they go back? They went back because they belonged there on some deep philosophical level. They went back because they had an everlasting kesher. And maybe if you, this is b'divrei drush, I'm not going to put this thing sense as the word rukhaim. But b'divrei drush, you could see how there's a difference between first and second, which is reminiscent of the Meshech Chachma. The first time they went, you go someplace once, you try it out. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, you move on with your life. The second time they went, it's because they were attracted to where they belonged. It's because they belonged there. It's because there was an everlasting kesher. And basically, if you go back a second time, Igloy Milsa, you'll go back a third time, you'll go back as many times as necessary. Because you've shown that's where you belong. So I think that, you know, definitely Begeder Drush, there's something to the second time. Begeder Pshat, and I think it definitely, I think it also speaks to the contemporary reality, that why do we have an everlasting Kesher? Because we always, Jews always felt that they belong here. Why is it Kitchen Lost and Lavo? Why isn't it just L'Shaita? Because in some sense, we know we always belong here no matter what. No matter what it's like elsewhere, we belong here. And you couldn't prove that till Olei Bavel. Only Mitzrayim, they didn't have any other options. They were trying it out. Only in Olei Bavel do you really show the everlasting kesher. Again, on the pshat level, you would say Gzeiras HaKasav / something very close to Gzeiras HaKasav, which whenever you do something twice, it's more powerful than doing it once, which is close enough to the Gzeiras HaKasav. I'll take questions, and then we'll move on.
Can you just say more simply than Reb Chaim? And the first time was Kedusha Al Tanai, and the second time was Kedusha Without Tanai. That obviously something done Al Tanai is inherently weaker than something done with no conditions.
Yes, but why was the first time Al Tanai and the second time without a Tanai? Because it's the second. Meaning you still have to ask the question.
Meaning,
because no one would think the first is Al Tanai. Okay, you mean Xeris Akasa the first is Al Tanai. And then why is there says the first Al-Tanai, the second isn't? Because it's second, and you're back where you started.
Right, but I mean, it's less just to say, like, you need, like, a governmental foreground or a national foreground before you can repopulate it and reestablish institutions.
Okay. I hear.
Going to the point of the whole thing, to say what's the status of Syria today, that we have to say, the Maset. And what's even, it seems to me, they don't understand that, but it seems to be that if the kibush of David HaMelech was on a lower level because it was a kibush yachid. It was Shmei kibush, but it was kibush yachid nonetheless. It seems that Olei Bavel would somehow level it off and make it completely Eretz Yisrael.
That's if kibush yachid Shmei kibush. But if it's not Shmei kibush, then what David did...
That's
exactly what I'm saying. If it's kibush yachid, then it's
nothing. But if it's something...
Correct.
It's more than it was before.
Fair enough. If it's something, I would go with you. Correct. But remember, the Rambam Paskins, it's nothing.
Is the
not like an Iyur. And the right.
Is the wajib in this approach of the Rambam that the Tznai can be undone?
What?
It's not Tznai.
The Tznai of Kibush, that's what the Yerushalmi says.
The Kedusha of Kibush was his brother.
Okay, we might be saying the same thing in different words. Okay. We're obviously saying the same thing in different words. Or maybe we're saying similar things that are not the same. But L-E-U-R-S gives the one jump that...
The one jump that once the conquering is over, the Kedusha is gone?
Yes, right, correct. I mean, the Rosham says the first one is only Chal from Kibush, the second one is Chal Stam. What the Rambam is adding is putting up with the Bavli, that's the first, you might have said, once it's Chal, we throw, you know, everything else in the dustbins of history, and now it's Chal. The finish of the Rambam is that no, since it was only Chal from Kibush, it only remains Mikocha Kibush, and can be Nisbatala, you did Kibush. Okay, I just want to point out that, in terms of the question we started with, I really think it's a Pashim Shabbat in the Rambam, in terms of the question we started with, there are other potential answers to who cares about the old status of Syria. I can think of two other potential answers, one of which Reb Chaim says in the Havamina, but rejects. You could have two other potential answers to this question, so we're going to have to make ourselves some room for two other potential answers to this question, even though I like Reb Chaim's answer. But what are two other potential answers to this question? Three, you could say, in Tinsolomar, like the Ravid, the Ole Bavel, Lo hit Yashmu to Syria, right? The Rambam says only Babel never made it to Syria. If only Babel never made it to Syria, then clearly it has nothing with the Rach is talking about. He's assuming for sure they did. Then what could you say? You could say very Pashut. De Nafkamina Lididan Imtin Solomar Kibosh Yachid Shme Kibosh Chayav. The Trumosu Maestros, the Shvias, Midrabonon, Kimo, Kol Hamakomos, Shekavshu, Ole Mitzrayim, Velo, Ole Bavel, Archayav, the Mikzas. Right, we know that Midrabanan, the place where only Mitzrayim settled and lost their Kedusha, and the Ole Bavel never gave it a second Kedusha, still Midrabanan have a lower level Chiv and Trumas or Maestros. And what you have to add is, and but a higher level than Chutz Laretz. Right? And that's just Somcho Leim B'Nim B'Shvias. What's the Somcho Leim B'Nim B'Shvias? That it doesn't have all the restrictions of Shvias that you can't eat the food, but it does still have Maestro Ani and Shvias, so that they'll give money. So that's an Nafkamina. The Nafkamina is not a derisive Nafkamina, like the Kesemish said for the Rambam. The Nafkamina is, if Kibush Yachid made Kiddush, it at least had Kiddush Rishonah, which was Batel. And even Kiddush Rishonah, which is Batel, as some Nafkaminas nowadays, Midrabanan. If Kibush Yachid was not made Kiddush, it never had Kiddush Rishonah, and therefore nowadays, there would be no Nafkamina. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is that even Bizman Hazeh, you don't have to say this is true. There are nafkaminos midrabanan to kedusha rishona. So you could give that answer as well if you assume. Oh, I should have erased that. Okay, have to rewrite that before we take a picture. If you assume that, that Ole Bavel didn't make it there, you could say there's a nafkamina where there's Kedusha Rishona, even though it's Batel, it has some nafkaminas midrabanan. Now, you're making assumptions, but you could make those assumptions, right? Efshar Lomar. Can say. It's not Mochrach. Is it Mochrach that the lens of Ole Mitzrayim so nafkaminas? It seems to be many rayas. Theoretically, you give another nafkamina as well, which is and some Salomar. Perish Tosvos, Big Kibush Yachid, Yesh Lomar, although this is against Tosvos. This is against Tosvos. The low Echbaslad, Bih, Kibush David, Ella, the gam ole bavel kavshu surya kodem shar eretz yisrael the kedushas ole bavel gam kein nikra kibush yachid.
Okay, if you want, you could say, this is not what any of your children sound like, that this is what the Gras Havamina. Then he rejects it because he thinks there's no Isser of out of order in Vais Sheni. The Isser of out of order was only Vais Yachid. If you want, you give a different answer and say, no, no, by Kibush Yachid, we don't mean the Kibush Yachid of David. That we don't care about. That was his bottom. We mean the Kibush Yachid of the Chashmonaim, let's say, if we assume they're the ones who got there. They conquered Syria before they conquered, let's say, I'm going to make something up because I don't remember the exact borders. But let's say they conquered Syria before they conquered before they conquered Ashkelon, which I think they actually might have. Perhaps. So let's check the history books. In which case, they made the same mistake that David did. So therefore, they're totally on the same thing. And really, we're not talking about David at all. We're talking about the Kibush Yachid of the Chashmonai. Okay, maybe you could say that. So there are other answers to this question. And now I think we're ready to move on. Even though I accidentally erased part of the board, what did the Sharvafarshan say? That what it meant is that, anyway, that Chazaka, I think that's what it said, is stronger than Kibush. Oh, that's what it said there.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, now I think we're ready to move on to the Gemara to a new topic, although it's a little late. Okay, but this is important. It is a little late. Okay, I'm not going to spend so much time on Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, perhaps. But I'm not going to get any more now. Okay, we'll have to call it a day, I'm sorry to say. I really try. You should know I try. Okay. I even prepared next Mekoros, and I wrote, finish Daf 26, Part 3. Because obviously we'll have done at least Part 2 and started Part 3. Okay, you'll have to fix that on your own. So I don't know how much I'm going to get to next time, I must admit. So, okay. In any case, we'll probably have 4 more shiurim till the Mishnah. Will be my 3 or 4. No, 3 or 4 more shiurim. Let's say 3. Probably 3 more shiurim until the Mishnah. And when we get to the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah is done enough tests. Let's say 3 more shiurim until the Mishnah. When we get to the Mishnah, we'll take a break for Chazara and the Bechina of the first semester. And then after the Bechina, we're going to skip a little, just because I want to do a little more getting this year. So we're going to skip to the Mishnah and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So we'll skip from the Mishnah and Daf Tes Amud Aleph to the Mishnah and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. What are we skipping? We're skipping all the ways in which getting are the same as Shehuri Avadim. And the first Mishnah and the second Perek, which is about if you say B'fanei Nichtav Chetzio and Nechtam Chetzio, which we basically did the highlights of already. So that's the plan. We'll have Shiur 27, 28, 29, you know, at the very least. We'll get up to 29 or 30 Shiurim. Remember, not including the Zos Chanukah, where we'll not have Shiur. And then we'll break for Chazara and Bechina, and then we'll pick up on Daf Yud Zayin. Probably in the next shiur, we might not get to really start the sugya of Hoginu Dibura, but you know, if you could at least start with the Gemara Rashi Tosfos and start getting into it, then that would give us a head start. I don't know, you think we'll get to Hoginu Dibura next time? I have to talk a little about... Yeah, you think we will. Okay, so you know what? Maybe I'll send out some more Makoros later. Okay, this is partial Makoros. Here's the draft of the partial Makoros. Everyone can take a copy to start working on it, and we'll pick up with a little... I'm not going to be eyeing so much, just a little bit of Sheretz Amin, and a little more, you know, maybe a medium amount. about Amir La'akom for Yishev Haaretz, Mirtz Hashem, next time, and then we'll get into the Bogdan and Dibur Sugya, which will basically take us, you know, there's like a few lines after it, but it'll basically take us until the next mission.